chairman of the Federal Reserve System prior to Ben Bernanke came from that same organization.
Are you as prepared physically and spiritually as you can be for the uncertainties of 2008-2009? This is Elizabeth Border. You can request a free sample newsletter tracking the police state, both the Protestant and Roman Catholic signs of the great falling away. Just write your request to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland 21609. You can hear our internet program on the Classy Genesis Communications Network, GCNlive.com, Monday through Friday. You can also hear it on shortwave Friday evenings on 5070, 7 p.m. Central. You can hear us on Saturday and Sunday evenings after Dr.
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Ron Brown, who, of course, sells gold and silver. He supports Radio Liberty, and we certainly support him, and we know he's got a lot of happy customers out there among our listeners. Hi, Ron. How you doing?
How you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing just fine. Well, basically, as we look and see what's going on today, why, of course, we saw that gold was up strongly today. Where did it end the day?
Let me look at it real quick. Up $16. That's silver. Gold was up like $14 to $9.51. Traded as high as $9.55 on the day.
Why do you think the gold was up that much?
You know, this morning it came out. And it was announced that the Fed was going to step in and monetize or buy up more of the treasuries on the market to keep them from going in the market unwanted. And when they first announced it, the bond market was up because the Fed is obviously buying unwanted bonds. And gold and silver were actually down a tad. And then I think after about an hour, the market said, no, wait a minute. The government just running the printing press is not bullish for the bond market at all, and it's not negative for the gold market, so the gold market just turned around on a dime and just went straight up. So I think the world is slowly catching on to the fact that in order to keep this whole house of cards from imploding, they're just having to run the printing press faster and faster, and that's very negative for the dollar. It's very negative for the bond market, which was down rather dramatically today after that initial upturn. So I think the world is just catching on to the fact that the fiat systems in the world are starting to unravel.
Well, of course, the thing is that the bond market is so susceptible. I mean, after all, if the currency declines in value, that means that the value of the bonds that you're invested in is declining in value, and you certainly don't want to be stuck there, you know, when this whole house of cards comes tumbling down.
Well, that's right. If you'll remember, Dr. Stan, when I spoke at your conference about a year and a half ago, that's what we talked about, was the bond market and how that is the foundation for this whole financial system. And if your foundation starts to crumble, then the whole house of cards comes down. So, the bond market is very critical to this whole fiat money system. And it's, you know, our whole system, let's face it, is based on a mountain of debt. And now the foreigners who have been financing our folly for the last 20 years are finally saying enough is enough, and we're not going to continue to buy more and more of your papers since we see you devaluing your currency. So as the foreigners cut us off and refuse to keep loaning us more and more, in fact, what they're really saying is not only do we not want to buy that $3 or $4 billion a day you need just to keep your treadmill going, really would like to do is cash in the chips on what we've been accumulating for the last 20 years. So the flight out of the dollar is reaching a critical stage, and as the foreigners try to dump some of those treasuries and certificates on the market, see, if those were allowed to go into the market unwanted, then the bond market would crater. The bond market craters, interest rates spike, and if the interest rates spike, what happens to what's left of our economy? So the Fed's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Do they defend and try to protect the bond market, or do they and run the printing press to do that and therefore sacrifice the credibility of the dollar? And so far what they've said is we're going to sacrifice the dollar.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, that's the thing that really disturbs me, because, of course, if you debauch the currency, you destroy the stability of the nation, and it would appear that they're doing everything they possibly can to undermine the stability of our currency. Down the line, everybody else in the world knows it. It's just such a tragedy that the average American doesn't understand what's really going on.
That really is, Dr. Stan. If you devalue the dollar in an attempt to prop up the bond market, well, it seems like the bond market is tied into the dollar anyway. So, you know, all they're doing is trying to stick fingers in the dike to take care of the latest, you know, the most critical crisis at the time. And right now, the bond market is one they have to defend. And yet today, it broke down into new low ground. So
now, what are you speaking of? Are you speaking of the Treasury bill market, the general bond?
The bond market? Index, which is an index of the different, probably the 30-year bond. And it was 140, back at the tail end of last year on the index, and it broke through a 120 on the downside today. So that's a pretty sharp drop in the long-term bonds in the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. So, you know, there's a lot of the experts out there that are now saying that the bond market rally, which has been lasting over 20-something years, the bond bull market is over now, and we're starting to go into a declining bond market, which means interest rates are going to start to rise, and that's going to put tremendous pressure on everything.
Well, of course, when the bonds fall, you have to actually put out more money to attract, in the way of interest rate or income on the bonds, to attract people to invest. And, you know, if there's uncertainty about, you know, what's going to happen. So obviously what you're talking about then is increased interest rates to attract money into the bonds is the only way to get people to buy them, right?
Exactly. And if interest rates go up, one, the bond market by definition is going down, which means people holding bonds have less money. And two, it means that if interest rates go up, it's hard to keep the economy showing any signs of relief. And, I think all we've seen the last 6 months, you know, Dr. Stan, if you think about it, when they've basically created or guaranteed in excess of $13 trillion in the last few months just to try to keep this house of cards together and prop up the markets, and yet all we've really seen out of the markets is what I would call a dead cat bounce at best. And so if that kind of printed press won't get this thing turned
around... Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ron is simply talking about the fact that the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department has either given, promised, or lent about $13 trillion to try to get the economy going, and it really isn't doing a very good job. I mean, look and see what's happening to our industries. Our industries are shutting down. The number of people losing their jobs is holding up there, over 500,000 last month. I said, that's a lot better. It's better than it was the 660 or 70 million the previous month in March, but they don't mention the only reason that there are only 540,000 people who lost their jobs, 539, is because the government hired about 60 or 80,000 of them as census takers. They're hiring everybody they can so they can begin marking everybody's door here in the United States, so they will have the GPS coordinates on where you live. Why aren't they doing that? Well, part of it's just make work. Because if they didn't do that, why, of course, it'd be well over 600,000 people who lost their jobs last month. They're making jobs out for nothing, but those jobs serve no useful purpose. They do not produce anything. And if you want to get the economy moving, you've got to increase savings and increase production, increasing spending. And that's exactly what they seem to be doing. They think that we can get out of the hole we got into because of too much spending and too much consumption by more spending and more consumption, and it's just not going to work. They're giving everybody a check. I got my check for $250. My wife got a check for $250. People all across America got free checks or free money from the government, so they go out and spend them. Well, we're not going to spend our money on items. We're going to spend it to get our debts paid off, and I think that's what a lot of American people are doing. And all of these government ideas, the way to solve the problem, are not going to solve it at all. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, you know, as the private sector fails because of government policy, then the government has to step in and just hire them. So it's almost, it's socialism at work. You know, everyone's coming on the government dole either through bailouts or through their jobs. So it just doesn't look very rosy for our private free market capitalism, does it?
Well, of course, we don't really have private free market capitalism. I wish we did. We've had corporate socialism. We've had it for a long time. We find the government already taking over Chrysler, giving 20% of it to Fiat, and with the idea they could end up with 51% of it, and they don't have to put any money into it. Isn't that nice? Why would we want to transfer ownership of Chrysler to an Italian company? How many jobs is that going to produce? Why are we giving money to General Motors when General Motors just announced this last week it's going to start increasing the number of cars it imports into this country from China and from Mexico and Brazil to about 25%? Why are we giving money to General Motors so they can create jobs in China and Brazil and Mexico? Really doesn't make much sense, does it? But then, of course, so much of what's going on doesn't make sense unless you understand there's another agenda behind what's going on, and part of that is the bankruptcy of the United States of America.
You know, speaking of Chrysler, Dr. Stan, there was a editorial or something on the email today about a Chrysler dealer down in Florida. I don't remember his name. I don't have it in front of me, but his family had bought this dealership, the franchise, I don't know how many years ago, 50, 70 years ago. This is the second generation that have run it. And then lo and behold, just this week or last week, Chrysler comes in and seizes the franchise, reimburses them absolutely nothing, gives it free to someone else, I don't know who it was, and yet here is this good couple who have run this thing very, you know, productively for years, and it's just been taken away from them. Chrysler had forced them, if I remember the reading right, to spend $2 million upgrading the facilities, and then they come in and snatch their franchise. They've got $3,000 of parts and stuff, which are now worthless because they no longer, you know, have the franchise, so they don't have all the warranty work that they do. So they're talking about having to declare bankruptcy and lay off another 50 of the 70 they had working for them. So
I've heard that story, too, and I'm sure that that probably is duplicated in many places all across America. And more people here in the California, an awful lot of people are losing their jobs in the agricultural business. They were going to close down a plant, I think 75 full-time employees and another 1,000 part-time employees because the bank would not give any money to this agricultural production. They would actually take the food and then produce it for being sent elsewhere. And, of course, we're seeing more and more companies all across America closing down because they can't get financing. They can't get financing because the Fed has intentionally dried up all the money that the small banks would have to loan. The big banks are in on the scam. They're not about to loan because they want to destroy our economy. And, of course, we're transferring the wealth of the American people to the large banks through AIG, through TARP loans, through all the other things. And the average American, Well, they're not going to be able to figure out what's going on because nobody's going to tell them that this is all a scam. They know exactly what they're doing as they move to destroy the economics of this country and enrich the wealthy and impoverish the people. Been done dozens of times. You go back and read Andrew Jackson's farewell address in 1837. He was talking there exactly about what is going on in the United States today. They pulled the scam then. They've done it repeatedly since then, and they did it repeatedly before then, and they're doing it today. And very few people really understand what is going on, how the Federal Reserve System, by paying interest for the first time in history on the reserve deposited with them by the small banks, has pulled almost $500 billion out of circulation, and that could have been multiplied up to 10 times. Do you have a telephone ringing there, Ron?
Yeah, well, my other line.
All right, fine. Well, you go ahead. But anyway, you had a story you wanted to tell us.
Yeah, let me get away from this phone that's ringing. Dr. Stan, a couple of my clients in the Philadelphia area, one of the brothers lost his job several years ago, and he just took a new job that's going to move him down to the islands in the Caribbean, to St. Martin's. And so about 3 weeks ago, he flew down there, and his parents had a real wealthy friend that lived there, so he went by to see him and met up with this guy, and they apparently hit it off, and they went out and had a cup of coffee. And as they were chatting, this client of mine said to this older gentleman, he said, you know, you really ought to consider investing in silver. And he said, Ron, when I said that to him, his eyes lit up, and he said, son, you're a pretty sharp cat. Let me tell you something. He says, I had the second largest silver position back in the 70s, second only to Bunker Hunt. And Bunker Hunt, as you know, had a position of over 100 million ounces in the COMEX. But he said, the difference is I got out near the top, and I moved down to St. Martin's, and I bought out 10 separate companies or corporations. He had a hotel and his apartment complex and who knows what else. And he said, I'm now in the process of selling all these companies for the sole purpose of putting my money back into the silver market, except this time around I'm not going to use the futures market. I'm just going to buy the real stuff and take delivery of it. And he says, I expect one last dip in the silver market, but after that I project silver will surpass $1,500 an ounce within 2 years. Now, I think we need to analyze that, because on the surface that sounds absolutely ludicrous, because silver's trading at a little over $14 right now, so to project in 2 years it's going to go up in excess of 50-fold is a pretty wild projection, isn't it? But if you think about what he's really saying, is that we're heading into some type of hyperinflation where the value of the dollar will be destroyed. And if that happens, and if the dollar is going to zero, then silver, in effect, is going to infinity. So from that perspective, it's really not so outrageous at all. But then if you sit back and analyze the other fundamentals in the silver market, and you realize that we have consumed probably 90 to 95% of the silver that took 4,000 years of history to accumulate, and for the last 15 years, the bankers have suppressed the price through all of these ETFs and these silver storage programs, and it's now starting to come to light that a lot of these programs, they're not storing the proper amount of silver. So there's not nearly as much silver as the book might be suggesting there is. So all these frauds are now starting to slowly be exposed. So I think it says something that an astute person like that, who was brilliant enough to make such a play in the market 30 years ago, you just write him off as a nutcase. So I think it also tells you that the value of paper assets is going to get obliterated if anything like that were to happen.
And of course, if some major player were to go out and start really buying silver, there's a very, very thin market. It's simply that nobody's really accumulating a large amount. You can't trust the ETFs, the exchange trade funds, because they're in bed with the establishment. And of course, they can even lend out the silver that they're supposedly holding to keep the price down. But, of course, if somebody really started accumulating silver, there isn't that amount of silver out there. And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And it's an interesting thing to conjecture. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're entering very, very difficult times. Basically, the government keeps pouring money out to supposedly get the economy going, and none of it is working. Certainly, the economy is not doing well at all. I'm going to have my producer call Ron Brown back. We seem to have lost him, but we certainly find that many of our major chain stores are shutting down across America. More people are losing their jobs. Even many people with prime home loans, mortgages, are beginning to face the very real possibility they lose their job, they lose their homes, and the foreclosures continue. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and hopefully we're going to have Ron with us in just a moment or two. But if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9795.
But as we look and see what's happening, we find more and more of our major companies are simply going bankrupt, going under. We find certainly that most of our major corporations are losing money. Very, very few of them are making money, besides maybe McDonald's and Walmart, and they're not doing as well as they were. So certainly we are in a downward spiral. Everything's being done to conceal that from the American people, to get us the idea that things are starting to get better. We hear about the green sprouts that are coming up, but people don't know those are poisonous mushrooms. And I really think that, of course, they're playing games with our mind, and just as exactly as they precipitated this whole economic crisis, you know, in September of last year, when every article in the Wall Street Journal was pessimistic, and each article was more pessimistic than the one before that. Now they're trying to at least to give us a little glimmer of hope. Things are really beginning to turn around, and things are probably going to get better later this year. And, of course, the government has calculated certainly what's going to happen, you know, as far as the future, our banks. They've calculated based upon an unemployment rate of 8.9%. But what happens when the unemployment rate goes to 10%? What happens when the unemployment rate goes to 12% or 15%, and the government is lying about the figures anyway? And if you go to Shadow Statistics, you get an entirely different picture of what's going on. Go right ahead, Ron.
Well, you know, just what you're saying, as people lose their jobs left and right, they're coming out and tell us how the stock market is bottomed and we're about to come out of this recession, and by the third quarter or so of the year, everything's going to be turning around. But how do things turn around when all the productive jobs are being destroyed? People are not making money. The tax base of every municipality and state has got to be suffering dramatically. And so it's just all smoke and mirrors, you know. And the reality is that we're not even close to coming out of this recession. It's going to go into a deep depression, I'm afraid. And I think we're heading for a destruction of the currency and a declaration of a national emergency sometime in the not-too-distant future. And they will probably declare our bankruptcy and then create a new currency and, you know, on and on and on. So it all really goes back to the agenda of that they're consolidating power and taking us step by step towards this one world banking system, one world government.
And I think that's what people have to understand, is they're not trying to solve the problem, but they're trying to give us the impression they're trying to solve the problem. Well, let's go to Steve, who's calling us from Chicago. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very kindly.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I think I made kind of a boo-boo mistake here. I thought it was Congressman Ron Paul that had...
All right, fine. Well, we don't have Ron Paul this evening, I'm afraid.
Okay, that's fine. I know you have. But to follow up on what your guest is saying and what Ron Paul had to say earlier on another show, you know, they're giving Obama polite heck, I guess the best way to put it, for trying to take over these businesses, and he has no right doing. Now the unions, see, they never get any talk back, but the unions, they found out that they can't run these things and that. Do people not remember just a few short months ago what these so-called experts in these fields of endeavor did with all the brains they've got? I mean, how can Obama possibly be worse than what was going on? I'm not sticking up for Obama. He's just another card in the deck of these mega maniacs. That is taking this world down. And I'm afraid, like your guests were just saying, he's saying that he thinks the currency is this, that, and the other. I'm afraid, with all due respect, we're going to talk ourselves into a literal death, talk this to death, because we got to get moving. It's no thing to it. They are taking this country down, the currency and everything. I mean,
Steve, first of all, why are these things happening? For instance, why are we trying to bail out General Motors when it's obvious they're planning on shifting their industrial production to other countries? They announced this last week. They're going to start importing about 25% of the cars sold in America from overseas. Why are we giving them large sums of money so they can make more jobs in China and in Mexico and Brazil and in Russia? Why are we doing that? Doesn't make any
sense. Real quick.
Go ahead.
Dr. Stan, real quick. Let me tell you. I think what the outcome is going to be, what their final goal is, and they've got bombs now. They've had them for quite a while, but they always contaminated land. They have these neutron bombs, but they have updated ones that will take out people and leave buildings standing intact.
Hey, we're out of time. Hang on there. Okay. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Ron Brown. We've got Mark calling from Florence, Oregon. Mark, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Stan and Ron Brown. It's good to speak with you all again.
Right, go ahead.
Well, you know, Ron, you were speaking just a few minutes ago about you felt there would be some type of national catastrophe, which would, I may be incorrect in interpreting what you said this way, or maybe I'm inferring it, but would coincide with a drastic decline over a very short period of time in the economy relative to job losses, relative to China, Brazil, and the OPEC nations are currently dumping their dollars at a pretty hectic rate, I understand. And I look at the World Health Organization and what they've said so far this month, and back on May 7th, just a few weeks ago, they said up to 2 billion people could die of the swine flu. And just recently, this week I believe it was, the World Health Organization said that they had 4.9 billion, which is roughly 80% of the people on the planet, 4.9 billion vaccinations ready. They're already ready for the swine flu.
All right, fine. Well, what was your point, Mark?
Well, Ron, Dr. Stan, do you think this could be at least part of a multifaceted
plan of some sort?
All right. Catastrophic scenario that will occur once the economy has really hit rock bottom, that we, you know, could have this swine flu epidemic going by that time very strongly with forced vaccinations and
all
also...
Right. Well, let's go ahead and get Ron's thought on that. Ron, okay. What are your thoughts about what Mark is saying?
Well, you know, my first comment would be tyranny always works the first way. You first create a crisis, and then you use the chaos from that crisis to impose draconian solutions that would otherwise be unacceptable to the people. And that's what I think this whole monetary and this whole economic crisis is all about, to create the excuse to take us to the new currency. Now, how that ties into the swine flu, Dr. Stan, you could probably say more about that than me, other than, you know, it's just part of the population control and everything fits into their whole agenda. So exactly how that fits in, I don't know. But
all right, fine. Well, I would simply comment that the Council on Foreign Relations has put out some information suggesting that if there was a worldwide pandemic, it could collapse the already weakened world economy. Just hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Mark calling from Oregon. And Mark was asking, certainly, if the world pandemic, the so-called swine avian human flu epidemic out there that supposedly, that just happened. We have no idea how it happened. It just happened on its own spontaneously. But if something like that could play a part in creating a world crisis, it would lead to a world economic collapse. Well, first of all, Mark, you must understand that about within the last 2 weeks, an Australian scientist has suggested that he thought, and there was a great deal of evidence to point to the fact, that this new virus was actually created in a laboratory and had gotten out inadvertently. Well, Dr. Dennis Cuddy had sent me some things just this last week. Actually, back in 2004 and 2005, why the World Health Organization mentioned that there were scientific labs that were actually working to create a new hybrid type of influenza virus that would combine swine flu and human flu, and I believe avian flu. I wouldn't swear to that, but at least the swine flu and the avian flu. And then, of course, another article saying in 2005 how they had been able to reproduce the genetic structure of the terrible epidemic that we had back in 1918 and 19 that killed between 20 and 50 million people across the world. Now, why would any rational individual want to create an organism for use for mass killing? Well, there are people who have a different world agenda. I would simply point out the fact that everything suggests that these are laboratory-created organisms, that what we saw in Mexico was simply a trial, because it only occurred in Mexico. It has spread to other countries, but the devastating death rate we were told about initially was simply a lie. I mean, there have only been three people, three Americans who've died of this so far. With all the hysteria, we have 50 people die unnecessarily of AIDS in the United States every day. And, thousands throughout the world every day die of AIDS, an unnecessary epidemic, and a disease that was created in the laboratory. How do we know? Because one of the people who was involved with it actually came forward and told the story. It's covered in a book called Full Disclosure by Gary Glum. The man was dying. They knew they would kill him, but he was going to die anyway, so he told this story. Dr. Garth Nicholson writes about the origin of AIDS in his book, Project Daylily, which we carry, but incidentally, that one is available from us, and the book AIDS, the Crime Beyond Belief by Don Scott. Both of those are available from Radio Liberty, going into how they created the AIDS virus, but they can't let you know, so they wouldn't be really concerned if we lost several hundred million or perhaps several billion people. We do know that the Council on Foreign Relations come out with an article in one of their publications saying that if there was a worldwide pandemic on top of the current economic collapse, it would, of course, plunge the whole world into chaos. And that's exactly what they want. That's what Henry Kissinger wrote about in his January 12th article in the International Herald Tribune, where he said that as things develop, the nations of the entire world will have one of two choices. They can either join the new international economic order or face chaos. I think that's what it's all about, Mark. Anything else you want to say?
Well, just to add very quickly, Dr. Stan, the source, for instance, just to, identify with their modus operandi through the last century as well as so far through this century, they put the AIDS virus first, as I understand it, and I believe it was the hepatitis B vaccination in New York City and or San Francisco, and it spread from there in this country. Actually, it was contained within the vaccination for hepatitis. And I look at these forced vaccinations that they're speaking of legislatively so strongly now in the U.S. Congress. They've just recently authorized a bill in the House which would totally legitimize and legalize forced vaccinations in the area of any pandemic that would be happening. And I think these vaccinations are going to basically be little miniature typhoid Marys for what they're vaccinating against here.
I think if I could make a suggestion, if you have not yet, get the book. It's called Rainbow Six by Tom Clancy, Rainbow Six by Tom Clancy. But we want to get back to finance. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Sam. Thank you, Ron.
Ron, do you have any thoughts at all on what Mark was saying before we... let him go.
I think that whole discussion was very interesting because we know that population control is part of their main agenda, always has been. So it all ties together. It's frightening that there are people that evil that could be plotting those sort of things, isn't it?
But I think we have to realize that we are dealing with evil people who do not think like ordinary human beings think, do not have the moral foundation that most people have because they worship a different God. Well, before we go on, Ron, I want you to get out your telephone number and tell people how they can get in touch with you and what will happen if they do. And then we'll give our telephone number out one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you'd like to talk to Ron, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I would just say we're living in very, very dangerous times. And people are going to have to learn to depend increasingly on the Lord, make their preparations if everything was up to you, and then, of course, pray as if it's up to the Lord, because that's all they're going to sustain us, I fear. Ron, why don't you go ahead and get your telephone number out, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for our guest, give us a call. Go ahead.
Good, Dr. Sand, my telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
Well, now, are you noticing any increase in interest in precious metals at this time?
You know, Dr. Stan, I think I've said previously, 2008 was my biggest year in over 30 years in this business. And that's basically without doing any advertising or anything. So people are slowly waking up. The first 3 months of this year were dramatically bigger than anything last year. But April always slows down, and May has been a little slow. And I've talked to other dealers around the country, and it's been a little slower for them, too. A little more metal has come into the market. It's not as tight as it was, you know, for over a year. And I attribute that simply to the fact that the establishment's pumping in all this money to prop up the markets. The stock markets are starting to recover a little bit, and people are having a little more hope that that their decimated pension plans and IRAs and stock portfolios are going to recover, so they're backing off a little bit. But that's just a temporary reprieve. The markets always ebb and flow, so you have hot times, and then it slows down a little bit, and then it goes back into the hot. So, you know, nothing has changed. Nothing has been done to correct our problems. So the flight out of the dollar is going to accelerate again, and as I said earlier, we're starting to see the bond market crater, the dollar is cratering, so this thing's going to heat up with a vengeance here in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I can remember, of course, a couple of years ago when the dollar was a 120 on the index, with one being a par with everything else. The dollar actually fell down below 70. It's risen up to about 89, but it's now it's backing away. And 89 in reference to the par at 100, and now it's down, what, about 82, somewhere in there?
I think that below 82, 81 something today.
So basically the value of the dollar is falling in relationship to other currencies, which is one reason why the price of oil is going up. When the dollar is strong, why the price of oil, which is an international commodity, goes down. When the price of the dollar, the value of the dollar goes down, why the price of gold and silver and oil tend to increase. And that's one reason why we're seeing an increase, although I don't think it explains the dramatic increase that we saw right today on the price of gold. And believe me, when gold and silver take off, they're going to go up like a rocket, because they don't want people, of course, to have a chance to get on board, and then they'll run it up, and then they'll back it off again, and then they'll run it up, and then they'll back it off again to create pessimism. And they play games with our minds. They know how to manipulate us. All of these markets, the oil market, the precious metals market, the commodity markets, the food markets, they're all manipulated. And, of course, you're the manipulator. You can come out very well. If you're not a manipulator, you've got no business in those markets, because they will play your emotions. You won't be able to sleep at nights, and you'll be fretting. And this is the way the game is played. So you have to take a position, know what you believe in, and then just wait and watch it unfold. and hope and pray that you made the right decisions. Well, our number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And as you read the newspapers today, they tell you, oh, people are beginning to get back into the market again. They, you know, people had lost so much, they'd lost almost half of their holdings when the market plummeted from the 14,000 down to about 6,600. But now it's coming back again. It was up to 85, almost 8,600. I think it backed off to about 8,200 today. But a lot of people say, gee, I better get back in that market before, you know, before I miss the chance. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a financial advisor, but I can tell you that this whole thing is manipulated by the Working Group on Financial Markets. Most people honestly believe we have a free market. Do you think we have a free market, Ron?
Well, absolutely not. Dr. Stan, you know, when you look at all the commodities in particular, the price is determined on the futures market, and the futures market is really nothing but a gambling casino where people sit around and trade paper contracts. And as long as paper contracts are used to determine the price of any commodity, then that opens the door for these powerful forces in government and the banking system to manipulate them at will, because you're not trading in real copper or real gold or real, you know, silver or anything. You're trading paper, and since they have the printed press, they can print all the money they need, and they have all the paper silver to sell in the market to force the price down. So all of these commodity markets are being abused and manipulated to keep the prices of things down so it doesn't reflect the hyperinflation of the monetary system.
I think it was really so funny, you know, for some time our Goldman Sachs has been announcing the price of gold was going to go up $1,000, $1,500 an ounce, all the while they were shorting the market. And they know they can drag the price down. And the foolish, gullible people got into this, in the commodities market, think they're going to make a killing. And of course, what ends up is, of course, Goldman Sachs makes a killing. The old adage that, you know, if you you can make a small fortune in the commodity market, a small fortune out of a large fortune. Well, let's go to Roy, who's actually Ron, who's calling us from Richland, Washington. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Hi, Ron. Just a question. If you were to purchase silver, it seems that you'd have a much bigger quantity. If you take delivery, how do you store that?
Well, that's, of course, one of the things that has made silver lend itself to being manipulated, because big investors, you know, if you're talking about putting $1 million into silver, and think of how many thousands of people out there could do that, that's a pretty good chunk of silver. You know, you're talking about probably several tons. And so, yeah, it lends itself. But by the same token, to buy paper silver, you know, you're not... Your gold and silver should be looked at as a refuge to protect yourself from a failing system. So if you turn around and buy paper silver, then you've done nothing to protect yourself. You're still in the paper system. So you just have to find a way to store it. And what I tell people is just store it until you just can't stand anymore, then store a little more, and then after that just buy gold instead. Because gold and silver are going to protect you from it. Silver, I just think, will perform much, much greater over the next 2, 3, 4 years. But, you know, have gold and silver, but always take delivery of it.
Okay, anything else, Ron?
No, sir.
I mean, you're just going to have to use your ingenuity, okay? I'm sure you can probably figure out something.
Yes, sir.
God bless. Okay, fine. Well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I think it's very interesting that we know the big boys. I mean, we're talking about the Rockefellers. I've been purchasing gold overseas for a long period of time. In fact, Dr. Dennis Cuddy talks about one of the relatives of the Rockefeller who came forward, and it was a woman. She commented that the Rockefellers were buying billions of dollars of gold and storing it overseas, and why, the poor lady just happened to fall out of a hotel window to her death very shortly thereafter she made that statement. So you got to be careful what you say in this business. We're dealing with ruthless people. Well, Cindy, as we see this whole scenario unfolding, and we find more and more, certainly of our major industries, say chain stores. We saw that Macy's profits were down 56%, I think it was. Certainly Target was down 44-45% as far as their income is concerned. So many of our stores really are, and businesses even, are totally dependent on the ability to be able to go out and borrow money to maintain themselves. And if that supply of money is intentionally dried up, why, of course, the whole thing tends to collapse. When, of course, money is readily available through the banking system and it's not real money, it's all paper money, it's what they call credit, they can actually increase the credit up to 10 or 20 times, actually, the amount of real money that there is, they can create prosperity. But if when you want to contract the money supply, then you create poverty. That's exactly what has happened time and again. It's what happened during the Great Depression. It happened again, certainly, we know, certainly after the Second World War. We know it happened, in the early 70s. It happened, certainly, in the 1979 and 80. It happened in 1987. It happened, certainly, in the year 2000. And, of course, we can see what's happening today. It's the same pattern all over again. The banks expand the money supply, and there's prosperity, and everything's going fine. And then the banks intentionally and purposely contract the money supply. And it's really the big banks that do that, working in concert with the Fed. The little banks are sort of forced to go along with what the big banks want. We've only got a small number of big banks, but they control well over half the wealth of our nation. Go right ahead, Ron. What are your thoughts?
Well, the Federal Reserve, when it was created initially, it gives the ability, since they can determine and pump money, create boom and bust in the economy just by their monetary policy, then it obviously gives the insiders who are tied into that an advantage, because they know when to get into markets and when to get out of markets. So ever since the Fed was created, every boom-bust period creates more consolidation and concentration of power in the hands of the elitist. And it makes it very, very difficult for the average person out there to figure out how to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with the system. So, that's exactly what they've been doing to us. And I think we're near the end game, where they're going to push for the consolidation of power and their one world government.
Well, let's get your telephone number out one more time, Ron.
Okay, it's 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
Hold that. We'll be right back. Well, Ron, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, you and I have been going on the air, and I'm sure you with many other people have been trying to warn people how things are coming down.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us.
20%, they're not putting in anything. And, of course, the way this is structured, they could end up down the line having 51% of Chrysler that will not cost them anything. Certainly the major banks, the pension funds, the hedge funds, the people who invest in Chrysler stock and bonds, they're going to get very little pennies on the dollar of their investment. Certainly the labor unions supposedly can end up with 55%, but they may get a lot less than that because they keep changing the terms of the bankruptcy. But why is the Obama administration so intent upon transferring the control of Chrysler to Fiat? Now, certainly, why don't we open it up for bids from American companies to buy up the Chrysler assets? No, we're not going to give that. The company's only Fiat. Well, it just happens that the vice chairman of Fiat just happens to be a member of the Trilateral Commission, as are all the advisors to President Obama. Why are we certainly in the process of giving money to General Motors? We're never going to get it back. General Motors is intentionally and purposely shifting its center of operations overseas. It's an international corporation with no loyalty to the United States. It has already announced it's going to start increasing about 25% of the cars it sells in the United States from overseas. Why are we so intent upon making jobs and financing jobs in China? And, of course, in Brazil and in Mexico and certainly in Russia, where they have open plants, General Motors open plants. It really doesn't make any sense unless you understand that the loyalty of our leaders is not to America, but to this globalist dream. They plan to transfer our wealth and our factories overseas. If you doubt that, you need to read the Earth Charter, which is the Mein Kampf. The counterpart of the Ten Commandments of God. This is the Ten Commandments, 16 commandments that come from the dark side. You can pull it down on the internet. Of course, you can, if you get something else from us, we'll send you a copy. If you ask for the Earth Charter. And then, of course, you certainly want to get the little pamphlet called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, put out by a Luciferian group, tells about this group that really runs the world, the spiritual hierarchy, and who they are. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get our new syllabus entitled The Brotherhood of Darkness. That's The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my book on The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk on The Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the three DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, and The Eye of the Phoenix. That's The Secret Mysteries, Riddles in Stone, and The Eye of the Phoenix. You can get all three of them together at a suggested lower price, or you can get them individually. But our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a catalog for long-term storage food, and you can get it to us at the wholesale rates. If you'd like, of course, to get your Berkey water filters or lay in a supply of health products, which you really should have, including high-dose vitamin D. You need to have that because it really does help to prime the immune system. And remember, there is no evidence at all that the U.S. Public Health Service is trying to protect the health of the American people. They've recommended water fluoridation, knowing full well it lowers the fertility and lowers the intelligence and attacks the thyroid gland and produces cancer, increased cancer. There are many studies that show that, but you're never going to hear about that. Why isn't the U.S. Public Health Service demanding the use of the standard public health techniques that could have stopped the spread of AIDS and saved half a million jobs in America? And of course, we lose about 50 people every day in the United States of an unnecessary epidemic, AIDS, about 20,000 people a year. One in every 16 black men will contract HIV during their lives. One in every 30 black women. The disease was designed, of course, to destroy the black population in America, as it's doing in Africa today. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And this evening, they're going to be the views of Mr. Steve Hickson, who is a seed cleaner. What is a seed cleaner? Well, you're going to learn that this evening. You're going to learn a lot of things, and I think this is going to be a very interesting program. You know, I lived in South Africa. One of the things that you're well aware of was that the government was largely controlled by De Beers Diamonds. De Beers Diamonds, of course, has a monopoly on diamonds that are produced throughout the entire world, and is certainly a law unto itself throughout the world. And probably the worst thing that you could have happen to you would be to find a diamond cone in your backyard with a couple of $1 billion worth of diamonds and try to put those on the market or sell them, because you would be given an offer you couldn't refuse. And if you refused it, I think you would probably end up in very, very serious problems. Well, certainly I know one of the tricks they used in South Africa was to offer to sell you uncut diamonds. Now, it's illegal in South Africa to have an uncut diamond. And I was approached at least twice, when I was there, by people who say, well, wouldn't you like to buy uncut diamonds? Well, I didn't know very much, but I knew that this was something that you shouldn't be mixed up with, and so I just said, no, I'm not. Well, oh, my goodness, you can make all sorts of money, and when you go back to America, you sell those uncut diamonds, and, well, no. But what they do, well, it's sort of like they do here in America with a lot of them, young, foolish Muslim people. They tell them, oh, my goodness, we got to get those terrible Americans, you know, they're killing the Muslims throughout the world. Just join me. We're going to blow up the Sears Tower. And a lot of people who would never think of committing a crime are actually enticed into committing crimes by agent provocateurs who are hired by the government to actually get people to break the law. Certainly, if you go over in what's known as the Diamond Coast of Southwest Africa, and you can walk along the beach there, and certainly laying in the sands are all sorts of large diamonds. But you certainly don't want to pick one of them up, because they have their army. The De Beers has an army, armed vehicles, the professional mercenaries. They're there to capture anybody who dares to walk along the Diamond Beach, which is the shore of Southwest Africa, littered with diamonds. But, of course, we can't allow that. Well, basically, this evening, we're going to be talking about seed cleaning in the United States. What does that have to do with De Beers and Africa and the Diamond Coast and planting of agent provocateurs and throughout South Africa to entrap people into buying uncut diamonds? Well, we have an independent organization in America that is certainly far more powerful in many respects than the federal government. It's called Monsanto. And, of course, Steve Hickson, thanks very much for being with us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what seed cleaning is and why you have come under constant surveillance and why you are being tracked by Monsanto?
Good evening. A seed cleaner is called upon by a farmer to come out to his location and process various lots of seed. Basically, what I typically handle is soybeans and wheat primarily, although I handle a little bit of specialty stuff.
And basically, of course, the farmers want to get their seeds clean so they can replant them. These are seeds that they've grown, is that right?
Yeah, you just get the weed seed and sticks and foreign debris and also the smaller size seeds that typically won't produce very well. So whenever you get done, you have pure seed that's the common uniform size and quality.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Now, this is something that's been done for many years by farmers so that they can plant the seeds the following year. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. It's as old as mankind itself. But with the evolution of genetically modified seed that really has no visual characteristics of its own, it's actually unidentifiable just by looking at it.
All right. Basically, when of course, you clean the seeds while you're just hired by the farmer, do you have some sort of a big combine, some sort of machine that does the seed cleaning?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little more highly specialized than a combine. Combines typically thresh it and get it to a certain point, whereas a seed cleaner has a series of mechanisms that will actually size the material and do a highly accurate job of the finished product.
And so this is so that these seeds can actually be taken by the farmer and they can use his machinery to disperse them and plant them the following year. Is that right?
Right, yeah. The mentality is that your soil will only handle so much population, so you better do everything you can to make sure it's a healthy population.
A healthy population of seeds. So basically then you're employed by the farmers there and you're part of, what part of the country do you live in?
Southeastern Illinois.
All right, Southeastern Illinois. You're hired by the farmers there to clean up the seeds, and they sell a large part of them. What portion of their product or the seeds that they have do they save? What part do they sell?
Oh, I'd have to do just a little bit of math in my head to figure that, but on the planting rate on soybeans typically takes, let's just say, a bushel an acre, and at harvest time soybeans will yield 30 bushel an acre in a poor year and maybe as much as 60 or 65 and maybe even better in a good year. So, but wheat typically takes anywhere from a bushel and a half to 2 bushel to plant, and will yield anywhere from, let's say, 40 to 70 and maybe even 90 bushel an acre yield extremes. So it takes more wheat to plant than it does beans, but soybeans primarily is where the genetic modified issue is coming into play.
And that is because, of course, Monsanto has genetically modified the soybeans. Is this Roundup Ready product? Is that Roundup Ready seeds? Is that what it's all about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've taken a soybean with 66,000 genes and inserted one patented gene into it. And
hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Steve Hickson, who is a seed cleaner. And basically, of course, traditionally, down through the centuries, why farmers have saved seeds left over so they will have a crop for the next year. But, of course, to use the seeds in their regular seed planters, why they have to be cleaned and sized and so that they can actually do the planting the following year. And so Steve is hired by farmers all across his area there in southeastern Illinois to clean the seeds for them. Well, this really never was a problem until recently when, of course, Monsanto developed a seed, and basically it's a seed that has planted in it a Roundup a gene that will allow the plant to withstand spraying with Roundup so that you can kill the weeds and you're not going to have weeds in the field. But this is a very special type of seed. The farmers have to sign an agreement that they will not, of course, plant those seeds, that they will go ahead and buy new seeds each year. Is that basically what it's about?
Yeah, in a nutshell, but not every farmer has signed agreements. To get around that, Monsanto has what they call a user's agreement that's on the bag now. I have read some data that suggests that 13% of all the federal court cases that Monsanto has brought has been a result of forged signatures. A lot of these farmers think, well, if they don't sign the contract, then they're not bound by the terms of it, which, you know, the way conventional wisdom would lead you that would be the case. But the judicial system apparently doesn't see it that way. If you have their patented material, you could technically be liable.
And so basically what the Monsanto is doing is they have their own system of inspectors and detectives and trackers who are going out all over the farms all across America to track down farmers who are using their Roundup Ready seeds. Is that right?
That's right. Whenever you see a press release that says they use all the latest in technology, you better take that literal. Whatever your imagination can come up with, there's a high likelihood they're using it.
Now, basically, do they go onto the fields to check it? Why would they be concerned about you as a seed cleaner? Because you don't know anything about the seeds other than the fact that you're cleaning seeds.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to have to care as a seed cleaner. When you look at the history of a lot of these seed companies, or most of them, every one of them was seed cleaners. That's how seed companies get started. You're a seed cleaner, you use that to build your equity and your customer allegiance, and you learn the industry that way. And for them to deny a seed cleaner the same humble beginnings that they had is an anti-competitive move.
But, of course, they're going to say, well, but we're trying to track down the people who are using our seeds without our permission. Isn't that correct?
Apparently. They want to use people like me to get to individuals they consider as violators, which there's a reward system that's been designed by Congress. And Monsanto chooses to ignore that reward system and use a system which they've designed themselves.
Well, now, what sort of reward system did Congress design to? Well, is this to reward the farmers for using or for not using it, or reward?
It's a reward system to reward the plant breeders. All these parent lines, especially in the soybean lines, we got them from China, and they got them from Japan. But we have nearly a century of history of public funding in these parent lines. Around 1970, Congress allowed private industry to borrow them. We loaned it to them. We've never given it to them. And it was to encourage economic stimulus and cut federal spending. And this is one of the very few times that that their intent actually worked out.
So basically you're talking about Congress was going to lend the seeds to who?
To private industry.
All right, fine. So they could have they would have access to the soy seeds that had come from China and from Japan. Go ahead.
Yeah, and see, for decades they were in the hands of our universities. And a lot of our soybean varieties had common names like Williams and Macon's and Mavericks and Logan's and Unions and so forth. And whenever they got in the hands of private industry, it was implied they were going to take these genetic lines and breed them together and come up with more genetic combinations. And it was also implied they were going to sell them for a profit. But it was never implied they owned them. The reward system that was designed by Congress was called the Plant Variety Protection Act. And if a seed company come up with a very specific genetic sequence they wanted to protect and market under their label, they were issued a certificate through that PVPA for short, and it protected that, if I remember right, the language said 18 years. But there was an exemption of infringement that was very clear. It says farmers' right to save seed, and that was put in there to protect the heritage that our public funding has afforded us for our future. So that has been the reward system that has been honored by all these seed companies for all these years. And all of a sudden, Monsanto gets into the arena, and they've taken this soybean with 66,000 genes approximately and inserted one patented gene, I think it's a protein, and lay it in that DNA strand. And now they claim supreme ownership over the entire genetic infrastructure.
Well, now, of course, is there any way that these fields could get contaminated by cross-pollination from other fields? Or if you have these genetic seeds, does it mean that you've actually planted Monsanto's proprietary seeds?
Well, the contamination is so easy to happen, even through Monsanto's own plant and other seed companies. One bean is enough to start the ball rolling through the genetic population. If there's one contaminated seed in a semi-load and it gets planted, it's just, you know, time will take over, you know. There's what's called an adventitious presence. It's referred to as a natural order. In other words, they know it has the ability to contaminate the ecosystem.
And, of course, this in Monsanto, then, is intentionally contaminating the ecosystem with a type of a soybean that really, of course, can contaminate everything. Maybe that's, of course, why they're actually trying to save these seeds up in the area off of Finland, you know, in the tundra there and in Ireland, where they can keep all of these seeds for fear that they're all going to be destroyed. Certainly, I think what Monsanto and others are doing, contaminating our basic seeds, has potential that we will not know the full impact of for many generations. Well, we have a gentleman, one of your contemporaries, Michael White, who's on the line. So let's talk to Michael here. Michael, are you a seed cleaner? Are you a farmer, or what? Where do you fit into this?
I'm a farmer, a seed cleaner, and a seed producer from Alabama.
All right, fine. Well, tell us what's happened to you as far as Monsanto. I understand Monsanto is tracking people by satellite. They have spies planted every place to track down people who may be stealing their seeds. Is that right?
Well, yeah. They took thousands of photographs of me, my customers, family, and business. They officially sued me in 2003, but prior to that, in 1997 or 1998, they had salesmen going around giving their seed away and telling people to do what they wanted to with them. They sort of set everybody up. Nobody believed back then you could a farmer could get slammed in federal civil court for saving seed, which is something that has been done since the third day of creation, Genesis 1:11, when God created seed, you know.
Well, are they saying they shouldn't save seed, or you shouldn't save any seed that has their gene in it? Is that, what are they basically saying?
They were passing out their seed. Nobody in our area that I'm aware of, and, you know, of 100 farmers or more, had ever saw a technology agreement until 2003, much less signed one. So it's fallen under the intellectual property rights, but this is reproductive patent. I mean, this is something that, you know, several generations down the road, it's still patented, you know, and it's unprecedented.
Well, what happened? But, what happened when they sued you, Michael?
Well, we stayed in court a good 3 year, I guess, 3.5 year. But you know, almost any farmer is underfunded and underrepresented when you go to a federal court fighting a Fortune 500 company. You know, they have billions of dollars. You know, most farmers do good to scrap up $100,000. You know, and I think I was in court 2 hours and 20 minutes. In 2006, my legal bills was well over $100,000, you know. So, it takes $1 million to fight them, you know, even halfway fight them, you know.
What happened with the lawsuit?
They actually backed down in the courtroom. I got their investigators breaking a lot of laws on video. One of their salesmen put a very carefully worded death threat on me and said they had also killed another farmer in Mississippi, doing a little boasting, but got him on tape camera. But they backed down in court. We went to mediation, and then we settled it confidentially. You know, you can look me up on the internet, and I got all kind of big figures, make your head swim. But it was settled confidential, and I left out of the courtroom real happy.
All right, fine. In other words, but did you say that they've actually been violent with some people?
Oh yeah, I was. They was confrontations, physical confrontations around here with their. These guys trespass, you know, they're private investigators.
Hold that, we'll be right back. Well, Michael, you were just saying they have the private investigators out there, and some of them actually
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And then you got to use more Roundup. And a lot of the farmers would like to get away from the Roundup-ready seeds, but all of the seeds are Roundup-ready. In other words, Monsanto has a monopoly. Now, do you think it's because, and either one of you, either Steve or Michael, answer this, is it because the fields have been contaminated, or is it because most of the farmers thought this was a great idea? You know, they purchased the Roundup seeds or ready seeds, or they just used them, or they borrowed them from somebody else and planted them. I mean, why is it that almost all the seeds in our country are Roundup ready today? Was this what Monsanto intended? Did they sell them? Did the farmers use them, thinking they'd get away with it? What's the real basis of what's going on?
In the beginning, the agriculture industry was thirsty for new weed control. The chemical methods that was being used prior to Roundup Ready, 21 days after planting, when beans got a few inches high, typically known as canopy, you'd spray over the top with a residual chemical that would kill them weeds as they were coming up and just emerging, and lay down some residual control. But it also induced a little bit of injury to the soybean plant. The Roundup Ready technology will kill everything but the soybean. In other words, the soybeans can keep on thriving through that chemical event.
And how do you spray? Do you use aerial spraying, or do you lose hand spraying? How
no,
do
there's,
spray?
There's just land sprayers, or just like any other piece of equipment. You drive it across the ground, and there's these spray booms that are, you know, various sizes, some of them 60 foot wide, some of them 90 foot, and drive about 8 mile an hour or 10 and spray the field in a pattern as you go. And just go back and forth until you got the entire acreage covered, and then your chemical control on that field's taken care of.
Okay, well, what happened? Did most of the farmers go in for it? Did some of the farmers get their crops contaminated? And I know this happened to one gentleman we talked to was up in Canada, and he claims he never bought their seeds, but his fields were contaminated by the pollen from adjacent fields.
Probably with canola.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, canola, I'd say, is easily contaminated. It's been some time ago, but I read a study, and I kind of think it was from the University of Iowa that done a study on contamination in soybean fields, and it was done by the bees. And apparently, no matter what size the field was, whether it was a 10-acre field or a 90-acre field, those bees tend to want to go to the center of the field, and that's where most of the contamination was. However, if you have non-genetically modified beans in one field and you have a neighbor's field that borders right up next to you and he has Roundup Ready and he just drives out in your field to turn around and sprinkles a few of them and then you cut yours, then your contamination has already started. You know, if you have a half a bean and a semi-load, that is enough to dock you from your premium price that you could have received at harvest. And the premium recently here in southern Illinois, there was a lot of guys booked non-GMO beans this year for $2 a bushel premium over regular market price because there's such a demand for them and low volume in existence.
In other words, the farmers want the non-GMO of soybean seeds. Is that it?
You bet. Yeah, around here, people are just dying to get away from them, but the amount of seed stock that's available, it just isn't there. It's going to take a few years for it to get back.
Well, now, of course, what did they actually do? My understanding is they actually were tracking you by satellite, and they were following you and doing all these things, you know, tracking you because you were a seed cleaner, is that correct?
Yeah, a year ago, the end of March, somebody had gotten into my shop, and at the time I wasn't smart enough to put two and two together, and I really didn't even think they got in, but there was enough evidence inside my shop that I knew something wasn't right. Well, the ways that I've got it put together is there's an individual or more than one got in there trying to find my company records.
Hold that thought. We'll be back again. They're tracking people to find out who we clean seeds for. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we're talking about what happened. You say they actually broke into your office, and did they get the records they wanted?
Well, the way it turned out, what they actually got into was just normal machine notes that really I'm the only one that knows what they mean, just equipment calibrations, and I really didn't have any hard records in that particular location for them to get to. But, there definitely was evidence in the barn lot that there was a stray vehicle that had entered my property. And as luck would have it, that very same morning that I noticed that, a county deputy pulled in my drive just not more than 10 minutes behind me, and I pointed it out to him. And actually, he was doing a little follow-up on some four-wheeler vandalism issue that we had going on at the time, and pointed that out to him, and we just assumed it was them same punks that was doing that, but through the course of time I was able to put two and two together and realize that it wasn't them punks at all. It was actually these investigators starting their surveillance on me.
Well, don't most farmers save seeds? Or do most farmers buy seeds?
I tell you what, farmers buy new seed. They always have and they always will. But this is not good enough for Monsanto. They want it all. They want to make you have to buy their seeds every year and all of it.
I mean, basically, there are not very many. There's no supply then of non-GMO seeds out there. At least, only until recently is there beginning to be a supply. Do you think the farmers would ever just say, "We're not going to buy anything more from Monsanto because of the way we've been treated"?
In this particular region here, after what they've done to me, the word is out, and these farmers are in a mad scramble to get as far away from them as they can.
Well, now, what have they specifically done to you?
Well, actually, they've done the same thing to me that they've done to, like, Mr. White and Maurice Parr in Indiana, and there was a co-op, Farmers Co-op in Pilot Grove, Missouri. Maurice Parr and I have portable equipment, where Mr. White and this co-op have permanent mount structures. But what they do is they would, with our portable equipment, they would track us to the locations where we would go. And a lot of these are very remote locations, these farms.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Steve Hickson, and we're talking about, of course, what happened to him. He's a seed cleaner. And apparently then the Monsanto, now are you sure that they were actually tracking you as you moved your equipment from one side to another? Can you prove that?
Is there anything? Well, absolutely. It was, you travel these rural roads, and somebody that's tuned into their surroundings, they're not stupid. I'm not. I go to these farms, and you'll know if somebody's following you.
Oh, you mean they're tracking you in a car behind you? Is that what you're
saying? No, they definitely were not just absolutely following me. I don't buy. But after I'd get at these farms and typically be there for 30, 45 minutes, and we would have equipment set up and running, they'd drive by with ground support vehicles and photograph the location. And
well, then how would they know where you were? How do you think they were able to track you?
The only other explanation is they were tracking me electronically.
All right, fine. So then maybe they put some sort of electronic device on your car, which you're suggesting, and then, of course, you would see them. Were you able to get pictures of them to be sure that this was legitimate?
I get in these neighborhoods, of course. I run 13 counties in Illinois, and then I also travel to other states. But you get in these neighborhoods, you don't really know who's a local vehicle and who's not. But looking back on it collectively, there was a small assortment of ground support vehicles that I recall seeing time and time and time again.
By ground support vehicles, what do you mean, Suburbans? Or
that was their, they was like Nissan Pathfinders, something
right.
along
right,
that line.
Okay.
This one in particular was dark in color and had some antennas on it and a thick plastic cover over the license plate and had the windows smoked out. But they'd drive by the location and take a series of photos.
Well, of course, it's illegal to have a covered license plate, isn't it?
I would say it is.
Okay.
These people are above the law, you know. So.
All right, fine. So they come by, they take pictures of what you were doing, but what you were doing was perfectly legal.
Yeah, there's no law against it.
Right?
Yeah, there's no law against it. We've broken no laws.
So basically what they were saying is, we want to know who he's cleaning seeds for. With the idea being then that they were probably, those seeds were probably the Monsanto seeds. Is that the idea?
Apparently. But you see, for them to violate my reasonable expectation of privacy to get to another individual is just, you know, puts people like me in a unique position. I have no agreement with Monsanto. I have no signed contract with them. I hold no allegiance to them or any other seed company. Farmer calls me to do a job, I go do it. You know, we set up the time, and all I care about is running my equipment.
All right, fine. Well, then would they go after this this farmer because you'd clean seeds for them?
Oh, yeah. Last fall, after they tracked me for an entire year, they conducted surveillance even, you know, after the soybean season was over with, whenever I'd switched over and started cleaning wheat. And right in the dead beginning of corn harvest, and I mean every combine in the country was rolling, they pulled in with several teams of investigators and started interrogating these farmers about their association with my business. And boy, they covered a lot of territory in a hurry.
Well, of course, couldn't the farmers just say, I'm not even going to talk to you?
Mm-hmm. Many of them did. And there was, I mean, because the guys are busy. I mean, that there is their major financial time. And they, Monsanto done it just to be, pardon my French, they done it just to be a bunch of horses' rear ends, you know. But I mean, that's just the way they operate. They're mean, they're arrogant, and all they care about is extorting money out of the population.
Well, now, did they threaten these farmers? Oh, they were going to bring suits against them if they didn't pay them off? Was this what it was?
Absolutely. Coerced statements and settlements. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you're certainly agreeing with that then, Michael. This is the same thing that happened in your area?
Absolutely. They pursued many farmers in my area that was not growing their seed. They were growing conventional seed, and it was not a Monsanto's business, and these farmers had to gather hundreds and thousands of documents. They can go back 6 years on you. It's about 10 times worse than an IRS audit. They have to gather all these documents, and they hit you. I had to turn in thousands right before Christmas of 04. They hit you at these strategic times when you don't have time to run around 30 days getting documents, you know.
Well, now, what sort of documents would you have to provide? I mean, do you have to have a document on the type of
seed you plant? All your checking accounts, every financial transaction, every check, every deposit, what it was, all your farming records, all your chemical records, all your seed purchase, all your chemical purchase. It just goes on and on and on. I think I had like 6,500 documents I had to do in like a four-day period. 6,500, you know, 2 foot tall. But,
what happens if you threw away the documents? You didn't keep them.
They even go back further than IRS does. They scream wolf. They claim you destroyed them on purpose, you know, and most farmers don't have near the documents that they request, you know. And then they get a court order, they get into the farm service, and they get all your records. And they even got a court order to get into my banks and stuff, you know. But they scrutinize everything, you know. And then they trump up these figures that'll make your head swim, you know, how much you've damaged them, all these millions and all the accounts. And if they ask for their legal fees, it's staggering, you know. It turns a farmer's hair gray if he's not already gray.
How many of the farmers have they done this to? Do you have any idea?
Oh, God.
Thousands.
Well, no, if this is really going on, why aren't we hearing about it? Why didn't somebody go to 60 Minutes or 2020 or one of the big television?
They control the media.
Let me answer that for you. Very, very few farmers. You can count them on both of your hands. There's more than five. Can come out of court or come out of any type of their threatening letters and even talk to you on this radio show, because these farmers take a silence and confidentiality, silencing for life, that they won't talk to anybody. I told the judge he could hang me outside of the courtroom if he had a tree, but I wouldn't stay in quiet. And I didn't have to stay quiet. I wrote a book. I published a book against them soon to come out of court.
I tell you the interesting
thing. Well, I hope maybe you'll send me a copy of that book. I'd love to see it.
The title of it is The Six Is in the Seed. You control seed, you control humanity.
I see. And, Chris, this is really what Monsanto apparently wants to do. And then they're demanding secrecy agreements with thousands of farmers. Is this what you're suggesting?
You bet. Yeah. I have friends that were sued or pursued heavily by Monsanto, and when they see me, they can't even talk to me. Some of them are church members and Sunday school teachers, and if I mention the word seed, they have to put their hands up and say, Michael, I can't talk about that. And they'll do that for the rest of their life. They're scared to death. If they break that confidentiality agreement, they can go to jail. And Monsanto wants some farmers in jail. To scare up all the other farmers with. They like to come into areas, sue the seed cleaner, sue one or two big farmers, sue one or two small farmers that they're going to lose money on, and then that makes everybody scared of the big bad Monsanto, and everybody is afraid of them. And Monsanto is not trying to get control. They have already gotten control.
Well, couldn't you go after them for a conspiracy? This is obviously a conspiracy.
They own the judges.
I won't say that, but you better have a briefcase full of money. No law firm wants to wage a lawsuit against Monsanto on behalf of a farmer. Mitchell Scruggs of Tupelo, Mississippi, has spent millions. His case is 10 years old. these things drag out forever, and it can cost millions.
Well, you're making it sound as if they're a very unscrupulous company.
See, in a civil case, if you win, they just appeal. It's not like robbing a bank and being found not guilty and you go home, you know. In a civil case, if you're found not guilty, they appeal, and they keep appealing until they get before a judge that is favorable to them. And these appeals cost a lot more than the lower courts. I mean, it's nothing to drop $30,000 a day when you're fighting, you know, in a higher appeals court. Mitchell Scruggs spent, you know, probably in excess of $20 million making it to the fifth jurisdictional court in Washington. And I think his case lasted 20-something minutes, best I was told. And he sued him on the Sherman Antitrust Monopoly Law and got stomped when he went up there.
What happened when he sued him under the Sherman Antitrust Law? Did he win or lose?
I think it was basically, I didn't read his court minutes, but it was basically said that he proved 92% control, and they said, well, the farmer still got the, you know, the option to go buy the other 8% control, 8% of the seed. But as far as I know, this is the first time the Sherman Act has ever failed to do its job. Monsanto is very powerful in the USDA, the EPA. This is a 30-year plan. This didn't happen overnight, you know. Monsanto, they made Agent Orange. They dumped PCBs in the town of Anniston, Alabama down here and killed hundreds and thousands of people. And then they announced the next day they were suing 75 Alabama farmers. I was the first. They wanted me for a poster boy. But Monsanto is deeply rooted into our government, and this thing is worldwide. They're pushing it. I saw today the Catholic Church has been anti-genetically modified, and they're about to cave in and become pro-genetically modified. Well, we shouldn't even be saying genetically modified. We should be saying genetically altered, because this is nature cloned.
Now, what about as far as the other seeds? Have they genetically modified the wheat yet? I know they've done the canola and the cotton.
They're beginning to. Cotton is. Corn is 90, you know, cotton's 99%. Corn, you know, way out there. They're also inserting these BT genes, bug tolerant genes, into corn. It produces a toxin. That's the reason you don't see as many airplanes, crop dusters flying. Because these plants produce a toxin that kills the insects when they eat on the plant. But these plants also send that juice and toxin right on into the fruit, and then we go down to our super grocery store and we buy it and eat it. We are consuming pesticides into our bodies from the genetically modified food we buy.
And, of course, I'm very, very concerned about that, and we have done a series of programs on that very subject, and I think it's an important subject, because there is no, actually, evidence that this is completely safe. In fact, we know that in Europe, the European countries, many of them, will not allow genetically modified crops to be grown there, but apparently people here have been bought off and purchased, so that we can't even let the American people know when they're getting something that's genetically modified that may be very, very toxic.
Yeah, they protest over there by the thousands, and here in America, we just accept it and eat it, you know.
Well, what can be done? How can this be negated? Certainly the farmers, apparently, in your area, Steve, are trying to get away from this genetically modified food. And do you think they can certainly do a good job without that, can't they?
Absolutely. You know, the absolute core of the issue is the patenting of life. I mean, that is the absolute core of the issue. The patenting of life should have never happened. It should have never have occurred. I think
part of the issue is the love of money being the root of all evil, and this is a very lucrative business. They own thousands of patents. The patent they sued me on, they make, you know, over $1 billion a year on that one patent. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you've noticed, you know, Monsanto stock hadn't took a tumble in the last few months of bad economy, because they are sitting on the most important thing in the world, seed.
You know, the most interesting thing of outside looking in should set up and take notice on when these users agreement or these contracts that several of these farmers have signed. Actually, when you sign that contract, you're agreeing to have yourself taken to St. Louis. And is it the 8th District Federal Court, I think? But
yeah.
No matter what state you're in, if there's an issue with Monsanto, you're agreeing to being sued in that court.
Well,
of course,
that's court, probably a place where they own the judges or the labor
department. That's their headquarters.
So basically,
why would
any person in their right mind sign that contract?
Well, they don't know. These farmers just
they don't have any choice. To get seed, they have to sign it.
Yeah.
Their livelihood depends on it.
But those judges all have Monsanto employment pedigrees. They all used to work for them.
I tell you what else is in that contract. A farmer is agreeing to control the movement of pollen.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know why that is? Where if this stuff goes awry and contaminates, kills a big vineyard, or worse than that, kills the whole ecosystem or destroys it, Monsanto can say, oh, it's not my fault. Look here where the farmer agreed to control pollen. That is stupid because the lawyers that wrote that contract up, I can stand them out in the middle of the field with their noses a quarter inch apart. They can't control the pollen blowing between their noses.
Well, we have a farmer protection bill pending in the Senate here in Illinois right now, and the bill number is Senate Bill 2151. And it's very simple articles. The first one keeps you in the state of Illinois should an issue come up. In other words, you don't have to be taken to the Missouri court. You can stay in an Illinois court. It takes care of that venue. And the second article provides a lot of transparency in their investigation of a farmer. In other words, it drags in Department of Ag officials to oversee every aspect of the investigation that goes on. And the third article has to do with this contamination that actually makes Monsanto liable. But the Senate president, his name is Ron Cullerton, he's a partner in a law firm called Thompson and Coburn. And they've been hired by Monsanto for over a decade to sue farmers. And this Ron Cullerton is not letting that bill move.
The important thing is we get information out across America, get the farmers up in arms and say, we're not going to use your product no matter how good it is. Would that be something that ought to be done, do you think?
It's easier said than done.
Well, this will...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The information and help us to get it out across America. You may want to get a copy of this tape to certainly to get in other people's hands. America is under attack today, and I'm really very seriously concerned for the safety of our food supply, for the safety of our people. And we are told, you know, in Revelation 6:8, and I look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him is death, and power was given unto him to kill a quarter of the population of the world with the sword, by pestilence, and by famine, and by death. And, of course, the pestilence being disease, and, of course, the famine, well, I believe that we are going to be seeing terrible, terrible things in the not-too-distant future, because behind so much of this there are powerful spiritual forces that would destroy God's highest creation, which is mankind. Under any circumstances, we do hope you'll get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Help to get the message out, that you'll get our talk on the Forbidden Secret and get the syllabus that goes with that, that you'll get the DVDs on the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, the Eye of the Phoenix, and then, of course, books like the Satanic Crimes goes into the Bilderberger Organization. Get our 4-tape set on the Bilderbergers. Get our 2 books we have on the Bilderbergers, specifically on the Bilderbergers, but the Satanic Crimes goes into the Bilderbergers. We have a DVD on the Bilderbergers called Endgame. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove and a DVD on the Bohemian Grove called, well, Secrets of the Bohemian Grove. And there you'll see the leaders of America in their black robes and their hoods and, of course, their candles and their strains of sample or feigned human sacrifice. We assume it's a human sacrifice. Although we do know that, at least in the Vatican, they have done their human sacrifices, feigned human sacrifices, but to coincide with a real human sacrifice, if that story sounds incredible, you need to get my 4-tape set on of the wisdom of Malachi Martin, who is a Jesuit priest, a confidant of Pope John Paul XXIII, who actually wrote a book called Windswept House, fictionalized story of what really goes on behind the scenes. And Father Malachi told me personally that the story of the satanic sacrifice in the basement of the Vatican to coincide with a human sacrifice, a real sacrifice, had really taken place. The book is by me, the 4-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, the book he wrote, Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil. You'll get a lot of books and information from Radio Liberty you'll never get elsewhere. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. To understand the influence of Christianity, or at least what happened to the Christian church under Adolf Hitler, one book we certainly recommend, Hitler's Cross. Hitler's Cross. We have a great deal of new information out there. We hope many of you will want to get it. We have, of course, a great new four-tape set on Deadly Assassins, four-CD set, if you like these, prefer the CDs. And you'll hear my interviews with two assassins trained by the CIA. You'll hear my interview with the man who wrote the book, Target Patton, who had actually interviewed and has the diary of a man who said he was actually commissioned to kill General Patton. We carry the book, Target Patton. We have a four-tape set on the assassination of Martin Luther King. Interviews with people who went to the trial.